Hey, Jay. Barry Roberts.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Roberts requests after-the-fact authorization to retain a 6-foot by 60-foot private non-commercial pier with approximately 1,116.5 square feet of decking platforms and finger piers, 2 boat slips, 2 jet ski slips with lifts, all of which lies adjacent to his property situated along Aquia Creek in Stafford County. Kathy, could I have the lights, please? Again, we find ourselves on Aquia Creek, this time on the opposite side of the creek in the Widewater Beach area. And this is a 2002 aerial photograph, and the arrow is pointing to the pier and boathouse that lied adjacent to this property in 2002. Again, shown here. In October of 2004, Mr. Roberts, through his agent, Mr. William Pete Sullivan, submitted an application, VMRC number 04-2372, to repair his private pier and boathouse. In this application, they stated the purpose of the project was to repair and reconstruct portions of the pier and boathouse which were damaged from previous and recent storm events. They further stated that the original footprint and elevation of the structures would remain the same. Although large, staff did not question the dimensions of the pier and boathouse, since many similarly sized structures have previously been constructed along Aquia Creek. And this is the drawings in that application from 2004. This is the drawing showing what they believed was the previous footprint of the structure that they were claiming that they were going to repair. You can see here a boathouse overlying this one slip here. At the time, they were also proposing to construct a new 16-foot by 16-foot platform out here, channelward of the end of the pier. Staff did discuss the project with Mr. Roberts' agent, Mr. Sullivan, by telephone on October 29th, 2005. And during that conversation, Mr. Sullivan did explain that the project was a repair and not a replacement of the existing structure. Staff informed Mr. Sullivan that the proposed platform, the new 16 by 16 platform, would require a permit, and that because of the size of the existing structure, that it would likely not garner a staff recommendation for approval. Mr. Sullivan did speak with Mr. Roberts, and they agreed to delete that portion of the application. By letter, dated January 10th, 2005, staff informed the applicant that his proposed project, excluding the 16-foot by 16-foot platform, was being considered maintenance and repair and would not require authorization from the VMRC. This letter was careful to point out that that the repair of the pier and boathouse was to be done in the original location and not to exceed the original footprint or elevation. Just another drawing there from that original package. In July of 2005, Ms. Elizabeth Blackwell, staff to the Stafford County Wetlands Board, contacted commission staff to inform us that she had received a complaint about Mr. Roberts' pier and boathouse, and that they were being constructed larger than his previous structures. Staff conducted a site visit on July 18th, 2005. This photograph shown here was taken on that day, and confirmed that the previous pier had been removed in its entirety and that a new pier had been constructed. Staff also noted that during the site visit that the pier configuration had changed from that shown in Mr. Roberts' 2004 application, based upon the pilings that had already been installed. You can see the tall pilings here. The pier was to have also included an approximate 36 foot wide by 37 and a half foot long open sided boathouse, roughly 1,350 square feet. Though that portion, as you can see in the photograph, had not been, the roof had not been constructed during the day of staff site visit. As constructed, Mr. Roberts' new pier reflected a complete replacement of the pre-existing structure and not the repair work stated in his 2004 application, and as such, it would have required authorization from the VMRC. Search of the commission records has not revealed any previous applications or authorizations for a pier and/or boathouse by Mr. Roberts or the previous owners on the adjacent upland property. However, 2002 aerial photographs did show that Mr. Roberts' previous pier and boathouse extended approximately 130 feet channelward to mean low water, and with an approximate 25-foot wide by 40-foot long boathouse, or approximately 1,000 square feet. Aside from any decking or catwalks which may have been under the cover of the boathouse's roof, no additional finger piers or catwalks or decking platforms can be seen in this photograph. The photograph clearly shows the new pier constructed by Mr. Roberts not only deferred from the previously existing structure, but further that the pier repair work was not done in the original footprint as stated in Mr. Roberts' 2004 application. Staff issued a sworn complaint notice to comply on July 29, 2005. The notice to comply directed Mr. Roberts to remove the unauthorized pier or submit an after-the-fact application to retain it within 30 days. Mr. Roberts, through his agent, Mr. Sullivan, did submit an after-the-fact application on August 29, 2005 and sought to retain the unauthorized pier as constructed. This after-the-fact request did not include a request to construct the boathouse roof as he had previously planned to do. By letter dated October 9, 2005, Mr. Dale Rogers, who's the adjacent property in this photograph, I believe in this house here, did submit a letter stating his objection to the project. Mr. Rogers' letter states that while he had previously signed an adjacent property owner's acknowledgement form, indicating that he had no objection to the repair work Mr. Roberts proposed in 2004, he did object to the complete replacement and expansion of Mr. Roberts' pier. In particular, Mr. Roberts felt that the unauthorized pier expansion now encroached into his own riparian area and that he would like to have the pier reduced back to its original dimensions. The other adjacent property owner on the opposite side, Mr. Bob Spencer, did previously sign an adjacent property owner's acknowledgement form in 2004 stating he did not object to the repair work. Mr. Spencer was also notified of the after-the-fact application, though staff has not received any communication from Mr. Spencer. The Department of Game and Inland Fisheries did email staff and recommended that Mr. Roberts coordinate with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service regarding the potential impacts that may have already occurred due to the construction of the pier. And those impacts would be in regards to bald eagles that nest in the area. They also recommended a February 15th to June 30th time of year restriction for any additional construction work. The Department of Conservation and Recreation sent a memo to staff dated December 29, 2005, and did not believe that the project would impact any natural heritage resources. No other state agencies have raised concerns or objections to the project. I want to go through quickly here. These are the after-the-fact drawings that were submitted before I get into our recommendation. This is just the zoomed in of what he actually supposedly has built, shown here. Staff does note that looking at our own photographs of the property after the construction, that the pier, the main stem is actually located here, shown in green, rather than where it was shown here in this drawing. It really doesn't affect the main issue out here, but we didn't want to make that note. So into our recommendation, Significant discrepancies exist between the pier and boathouse structure that had previously existed and was shown in the 2002 aerial photograph. The structure Mr. Roberts claims existed in the 2004 application and the pier constructed in 2005. If Mr. Roberts and his agent, Mr. Sullivan, had applied to replace the pier and boathouse as they had previously existed, staff likely would not have had to bring this case before the commission. By signing the 2004 application, Mr. Roberts, through his agent, Mr. Sullivan, certified that the information submitted was true and accurate, though this does not appear to have been the case. Whether done intentionally or not, staff believes that it was clearly misleading. Mr. Roberts' previous application submittal, VMRC number 010648, for a private pier on a separate property, as well as Mr. Sullivan's position as the agent and contractor, demonstrate their awareness of the need to obtain proper VMRC authorization before proceeding with any construction activities over state-owned subaqueous land. In this case, the previously existing pier was misrepresented in the 2004 application and then rebuilt to dimensions that vary significantly from that in that application. In addition, their 2004 application claimed that the pier was being repaired and that portions of the decking were being replaced. In the opinion of staff, this differs markedly from the complete replacement and expansion of the pier that did take place. Although Quiet Creek has had a history of large piers and boathouses, most of those piers and boathouses did not require a permit from the VMRC under previous versions of Section 20.2-1203A5 of the Code of Virginia. Under the current law, staff does not feel that it can support the project as proposed. Accordingly, staff recommends the commission approve Mr. Roberts' after-the-fact request with the following modifications. Staff recommends that the 4-foot wide by 12-foot long and that the 3-foot wide by 40-foot long catwalks be removed from the western portion of the pier, along with an 18-foot by 22-foot section of the decking platform on the northwest side of the pier. I'm sorry. And that would be this portion here shown in red. The staff would also recommend that Mr. Roberts submit revised drawings which reflect these modifications and that illustrate the exact location of the pier's main stem. The portion shown here in green would be what you would be left with. And this is to give you an idea of what would be what staff is recommending he be allowed to have. In addition, staff recommends the commission consider an appropriate civil charge based upon minimal environmental impact and a major degree of noncompliance for both Mr. Roberts and his agent contractor, Mr. Sullivan. And as is standard with all after-the-fact applications, staff would also recommend triple permit fees. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I believe Mr. Roberts is here today, and his agent, contractor, Mr. Sullivan, was planning on attending, but is called and said he had car trouble and could not make it down today.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple of questions. I just want to make sure I understand what you are characterizing as a misrepresentation in the, 2004 application, and that is basically that the footprint of the of what was applied for and represented as an existing pier, in fact, was maybe twice as large, roughly, as what you all scaled out based on the aerial pre-existing aerial photograph. Is that correct?
That's right. It was quite a bit larger. And at the time, we didn't question when the application first came through. We did not go to pull any old files or look at aerial photographs. It was not a structure that we would have questioned since it was on a Quiet Creek. And quite frankly, there's some piers and boathouses that are much, much larger. So at the time, we were taking them on their word. They did sign the application stating that it was true and accurate.
So. Okay. And second, is a goal of your recommendation to prohibit mooring a boat on the western side of that dock? Is that you're requesting the removal of that outboard finger pier that's to the west?
Right. Well,
and a substantial portion of the decking. Is your goal to have them? Is one of your goals to have them not mooring a boat on that side of the property, on that side of the pier?
Well, the question I guess comes up when we spoke with Mr. Rogers, who is the protestant, the adjacent property owner. He did state that I think the lots here are 50-foot wide lots, and there's a 52-foot wide pier sitting off a 50-foot lot, and he did believe that it did encroach into his riparian area. And while that's not something the commission, has jurisdiction to decide over, we as a staff typically will not make a recommendation for something that we do feel could likely be in somebody else's riparian area. So we're not necessarily preventing him from mooring a vessel on that side of the pier, but we did feel that there was a need to remove this portion here because it was likely not in his riparian area, and that we also felt that the amount of decking he was proposing was extensive in comparison with what we believe he had prior to 2002, the aerial photograph that we had. So.
Thank you.
Any other questions from Mr. Schick?
Would you also want him to remove the pilings or just the decking?
All the pilings as well that would be associated with those portions.
Right. Okay. All right. No other questions from the commission. Is the applicant present or represented? Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Fine. Would you raise your right hand, please? Do you swear the testimony shall give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help you, God?
Yes,
state
sir.
Your full name for the record. State your full name for the record.
Gary Douglas Roberts. As far as what they want me to remove, they're basically wanting me to take what I had existing and shrink that in half again. As you can see from the aerial photos, there's large docks throughout the Aquia Creek. The only thing that was added to the original footprint is that L shape onto there where I put my boat slip there and where Mr. Rogers, my neighbor, moors his boat between his dock and my dock and spring lines his boat across both of our docks. Mr. Rogers had the full footprint of what I was going to do. We submitted this to the county. We got permits for it. I did make one mistake and not review the permits to be a complete demolition and rebuild. That would be my mistake. I left it to my contractor to do. As far as the walkway all the way out was never moved. I have the same existing walkway that's been there. It had new decking put over top the old stringers and the poles. There are still existing poles underneath that dock that we did use. As far as completely wiping it all out, there is still some old existing pilings, some 8x8s, and some old poles that are still underneath there.
Mr. Fox.
Can you show us with your hand or something on this drawing where the existing, the original one was?
Sure. This is all existing through here. From here, it stops right up here. The existing was still here to here. Did not extend out any further. And if you notice on the aerial photos on my dock now, both of my adjacent property owners are still out further than I am. I'm still 20 feet inward in my property, and both of them are further out than me still.
But you did add the reverse L on the right?
That's correct.
And you added the jet ski lifts?
No, that was all decked into a boat house that was with four sides enclosed. And since then, I decided not to put a roof or just leave it completely wide open as a deck. Because Mr. McGinnis asked me if I wanted to apply to put back the roof, and at that point I said, no, I don't want to put a roof up at all. I just want to keep it open.
So the reverse L, the reverse L is the only thing that was larger than the original footprint.
That's correct. But that L was on the permits.
Okay.
And approved on the permits.
Any other questions from the commission?
Yes.
Mr. Robbins and then Mr. Fox.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How many boats are you mooring at this facility? Are you using the two slips that we see there? Or?
No, it's just the one boat on the right. There was a 27-foot boat on the right there.
And can you moor that in the other slip?
No, that boat slip actually angles in. It's only about 19 feet deep by 12 feet wide. That was just for extra boat parking, if I had a guess.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Mr. Fox?
I forgot my question right now. Go ahead, excuse me.
All right, anyone else? Okay, let me see if there's anyone else in the audience that wishes to speak. Anyone in the audience pro or con on this after fact application? Or is this one? This is an after fact, isn't it? Yeah.
Mr. Pruitt, if I could just point out one more thing I neglected. Mr. Sullivan, the agent contractor, since he is not here today, he did submit a statement yesterday to us, which is item number 7 in your packets. His business partner, Mr. Hoffman, who also acted as the contractor, submitted his own statement, which is item number 8. And, since they are not here to testify on their own behalf, I thought I should point those out to you.
Thank you. That's a good idea.
He knew yesterday one question. His car was going to break down this morning.
Yeah. anyone else while we're Mr. Sherry?
Yeah. Do you agree with the applicant that the original boathouse covers the existing dock except for the reverse L?
We're not sure how much decking was underneath the old boathouse, so there could have possibly been quite a bit, but I do question the dimensions. This dimension from here to here does appear to be roughly 40 feet, which is what we had measured off the aerial photograph, but the distance that he's claiming from this corner to this corner is much greater than the 25 feet that we had measured in the aerial photograph. And if you'd like, I can go back to that to show you that... that again, there's a shadow here, which may make it difficult, but it's clear there's no additional decking coming off the edge of this roof to the extent that he seems to be claiming. While it may lie under the shadow, I don't think that even the portion from here to the edge of that shadow would meet the full width of what he's claiming.
Mm-hmm.
All the way across to what he previously had. So I still do think that there is some question as to the dimensions, unless there was an expansion after this photograph was taken in 2002, but we don't have any record of that either. So.
Okay.
Mr. Perry, would you like to comment on that part of it?
Where he says there is a shadow there, you actually turn right outside of the boathouse, you walk all the way past that, and you walk all the way to the end of it where there was a bench seat sitting there on the outside of that wall.
Can you point that out, please?
Out from here, you turn down here, you walk all the way down here, and there was a bench seat sitting out there on the other side of the boathouse.
What did you do, Mr. Perry? I asked Mr. Sullivan to handle this for you. And
I hired them to do everything, turnkey operation, permits, everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty bad experience all the way through. It took them, as you can see, I applied in 2004, and it took quite a while to get it done. And now they're out of business. In the process of getting back about $10,000 additional, I paid them the work. Didn't get completed.
I know Mr. Garrison's commented on the contractors before, and I just think, homeowner, we're homeowners. I mean, you hire a contractor for a turnkey job, that's what you expect. I kind of feel for the homeowner here. But I wish we had the guy's car broke down here. That's one we really need to be talking to. It's interesting that he knew it was going to break down yesterday, according to the letter. I'll attribute that to my counselor here. Yes, sir, Mr. Garrison.
I'd like to remand this back to next month. Hate to hold you up and get Mr. Sullivan up here if we have to pick him up and bring him so we can get some more information about the situation.
And try not to associate with
him. I think we got...
Mr. Garrison, if I may, talking to the attorney, we can do that separate from this gentleman's situation.
But, There again, I think you know well enough to know that it's very obvious that the contractor is at fault, and the property owner was letting him do what he wanted to do.
Right. All right. What's the pleasure of the commission? Mr. Schick.
In light of the evidence discussed today in our packet that we've received and staff recommendation, I'd like to move that we accept staff recommendations in the Perry Roberts case 05.2053, and that is to include the removal of the reverse L and associated pilings and in the deck area. Also, fines in the case of were recommended as minimal and major. Is that correct?
Major.
And I'd like to, along with triple permit fees.
So that would be $1,800?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Second to the motion?
What was your fine?
$1,800.
$1,800. Thank you.
And question on the motion. That would be removal of, can you flip to Ben to the one that has the red on it? Are you recommending removal of all of the, everything in red?
Everything in red, yeah.
Everything. Is there a second to that motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'll second it for purposes of discussion.
All right, motion has been seconded. Now discussion to the motion. Anyone?
Mr. Holland. The deck portion, not the reverse L, but the pink in the deck portion, that much he had before the storm, and I would hate to see us him wind up with less than what he had. So I would ask for an amendment to include that deck portion.
I'll accept that.
So your amendment would
show us with Ben with the pointer, would you? What was it just said then?
So with the amendment, I believe that you would be removing just the L portion.
The reverse L.
Yeah, and associated pilings.
Right.
I will second the amendment.
Well, wait a minute. I have a friendly amendment if I can get the seconder to accept it.
I will. I was going to offer a finger pier coming back in that direction, but I don't have a problem with that. I think that puts the total project back within the realm of where it was.
That's now part of the original motion. Any further discussion to the motion as exists?
You've got an $1,800 fine plus triple damages, right?
And I personally have a problem with fining him when he had a turnkey agreement with a contractor. I just don't think that's right. But that's up to the commission. If we get a tie vote, I'll make that decision. All right. Any discussion to the motion?
Mr. Chairman, with respect to the fine issue, I would like to speak to that. I think I am going to vote for it simply because it was part of the application that was made in 04, and I think, given the scale of the difference, it was substantial that staff has indicated it was probably misrepresented, and I think what was represented in that application was almost twice as large as what was originally there. So I think a fine is appropriate in this case.
All right.
Civil charge.
Civil charge. Thank you.
Mr. Garrett.
I can't support the motion because I think the contractor, whether he's got a broke-down car or not, is at total fault.
Any further discussion to the motion? All right. Ready, Ben?
Can I just ask for a clarification on the motion? Is the civil charge being assessed to both the applicant and the contractor?
No, we're bringing him back. The contractor is not in this discussion.
Okay, I just want to make sure that's...
We're bringing him down here if we have to send somebody to get him. All right.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Now, with the length and the width of my dock that I have existing that was actually permitted to do this, would it be somebody else's fault for not checking this out before they approved my permits to do this size of a dock? I mean, I have approved plans from the VMRC and the Army Corps of Engineers and Stafford County to build that size of a dock. Now, if somebody didn't come out and do what they were supposed to do before they approved it, I mean, shouldn't that have happened before this got built? Someone should have come out and said, hold on, we can't approve this.
Approving the application is not, doesn't justify the end result of what one would build. Okay. And if you exceeded that, that's not certainly not staff fault.
But I have permits to build that size of a dock. Now, they came out after the fact and said, no, it's larger. We didn't come out and look at it before you started.
I believe that you gave the dimensions of the previous dock to the commission. The decision of staff is based on your information. Your information was incorrect, whether intentional or not, is immaterial.
We can't
measure something that's not there.
Right.
All right, I'm going to let Ben, did you want to comment to this issue? And then we're going to vote.
We haven't permitted any structure. We did send a letter saying that, you know, what he was asking for was maintenance and repair, but that's not an approval of the construction. So I just wanted to point that out.
Okay. All right.
Do you understand what Ben just said?
I have documentation stamped from.
Do you have a VMRC permit in your hand?
I have VMRC paperwork approving this size dock.
Ben just said you didn't have a permit.
I have paperwork saying. Does the VMRC give?
Could you clarify this?
Yeah. Basically, he may have applied for something and said it was maintenance and repair, and we would not have gone to any great lengths. By his own admission, you know, the L head here was not there, and whether he had it in the application and said it's maintenance and repair, doesn't have authorization for that, and in fact was an expansion on the previously existing structure.
Okay. All right, thank you very much, and now I'll call for the vote. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Same sign. One no. Any abstention? Motion carries. All right, thank you. Mr. Perry, if you would get with Mr. Graham before you leave and explain the situation to you.
Now, we're going to, Mr. Chairman, we are going to call for the contractor to
Bob, what would you like on that? Would you like a motion from the commission, or can we do that through a subpoena?
You have the authority as the commissioner to compel the attendance, and if the commission merely conveys, you know, its request, we'll send a letter.
All right, prepare
that the contractor
up here. Prepare the proper document for him to be here next month. All right. Do you want to continue or break for lunch now? What's the status out there? Does anybody know?
Lunch is here.
It is?
Lunch is here.
Well, why don't we break for lunch and then finish the agenda? We'll break for we'll recess for lunch and try to be back here at 12:30. Thank you.
Where does it say?
Good luck.